And then the Cool Runnings, they start to count in German. And it's like, you got to be who you are, because Dougie Doug is... Dougie Doug and Ice the Bounty Hunter are going to win it for you.
Oh, is Ice the Bounty Hunter in Cool Runnings?
He's the mean... He's the mean Jamaican bobsled guy.
Huh.
This is getting way too, like... We got to move on. Welcome to Tune Change,
a show where two music jerks try to give albums a chance. One thing I noticed in listening to this was, you know, we were coming off of Cocteau Twins and Heaven Over Las Vegas, and everything's very lush and ethereal and, you know, soprano singing and shoegaze. So it's been quite the... quite the turnaround for the lads here.
Yeah, this is this has Sopranos level violence. That's what this is. We're talking about Cro-Mags. They're a New York hardcore band, and they're the answer to the question, what if Fear were serious? Because like all the stuff that Fear is as a joke, the Cro-Mags just like are. Like... The song World Peace is just about how you can't have world peace, which is like almost literally a Fear song. So this is, I'll get it out of the way up top. Everybody go listen to the one Fear album. The first 9 songs are fantastic. They've titles like Let's Have a War, and New York's All Right if you like saxophones. Which is legitimately one of my, I don't know, 3 or 4 favorite songs, maybe ever. It's a delight. But Cro-Mags are fucking serious. They're talking about the streets and living on the streets and surviving the on the streets and the justice for the streets. It's cool because like in 2025, it's just like that's just called justice now. We call the other justice inside justice.
We're indoor justice and our outdoor justice, as it were.
So one thing that makes Cro-Mags great is there are multiple stories of their origin, which is not unusual. Makes it unusual is that there are multiple stories of their origin that have all come from the same person. He claims to have formed the band in 1980 2 times with different groups of people. His name is Harley Flanagan, and he looks just completely insane. He looks more,
so much gear,
more insane and roided out and vascular than you can possibly imagine. He's the reddest he's the reddest man in the world, and he's just straining against his base.
Picture Henry Rollins at his most jacked and most angry, and then turn that knob up, I don't know.
Turn the
75% more.
Turn the skinny knob to meth, and then you're on to something. So another indication of where Cro-Mags are at is they had a fight over their name, and that again, yes, not unusual. What is unusual is their fight was a physical fight that featured a stabbing.
Multiple stabbings, yeah. as I see.
Yep. So they have all the stuff that a regular band has, and then they stab one another. Or there's just some amplification all the time. They're New York hardcore, and this is a hardcore that I was pretty unfamiliar with. We can almost probably dispense with what did you know and when did you know it, because I imagine the answer for both of us is like, I guess I had heard the name probably.
Maybe at one point. This definitely did not break into the Rockabilia catalog, which is my yardstick for, has this band, you know...
Does this band
have enough cachet to sell t-shirts to me in
Missouri. I would have spent I would have spent $1 billion on the Rockabilia catalog if you had let me. And it, if it still exists, I still might. I might go fucking,
I think it's a website now.
I've certainly.
I've checked on it, yeah.
But I, the thing they had going for them is just like, their rights deal was just like crazy. It was like the Funko Pops of
that's band t-shirts. It's like, yeah,
you licensed everything. It's incredible. So Cro-Mags not on my radar, and still really not on anyone's radar. This is us picking something with just no cultural heft at all. Like, nobody's thinking about Cro-Mags or New York hardcore or tough guy hardcore or whatever you want to call it. But what did I know, and when did I know it?
What did the president know, and when did he know it?
Not a whole lot until like a couple of months ago, and I only know a little more than that now. And I'd never really, my hardcore stop, like, I wasn't looking for any tough guys when I was into punk rock. I was looking for effete artsy types in my punk bands.
We need sad punks, not angry punks.
Yeah, because like Ian MacKaye got less violent and more sad, and then kind of less sad as he grew up, which is like,
yeah,
that's my journey. Yeah. Like super into punk rock, less into punk rock, but increasingly sad, and then remain kind of not all that into punk rock, but decreasingly sad.
Yeah.
At a certain point. I just really, I never put that together before. I am,
it's funny that
Fugazi, because I am no longer touring.
It's funny that you mentioned Fugazi, because I was listening to this album on YouTube, and the version that I had was just
the flax.
It's,
you don't need, you don't need lossless. on this one, I don't think.
I'm not sweating the loss on this, but I had the experience then of Sign of the Times finishing in such spectacular fashion, and then, you know, YouTube just picked up the next, what's the next thing in the pipe, and it was Waiting Room, and I was like, well, this is, boy, I sure wish I was listening to this.
I mean, obviously, it's just the algorithm. Like, people like these two things. Like, it's not thinking about it. But,
well, and you know, they're probably similar. You know, I don't know when Waiting Room came out. Probably a couple years later.
87, 88.
But
not long.
Yeah,
so.
They're contemporaries.
Yeah, the vibes that this gave me were, definitely, like I said, I got some Fear vibes. Because Fear was, the Fear record is really good. It's like really kind of rhythmically adventurous, and they are better musicians than they frankly need to be some of the time.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I'll say about Cro-Mags is like, they, you can see where the edges of their musicianship are. Like,
yeah,
and they bang up against them and go a little past them every once in a while, but mostly they're quite competent.
Oh, absolutely.
As a punk band, they're clearly very well rehearsed. The drummer is pretty good.
Nobody's embarrassing themselves, and nobody is, you know, any kind of edges that they're bumping up against. I'm not saying, oh, well, you know, you flub that. It's kind of, it is as good or better as it needs to be for the rest of the content and vibe.
Yeah, they're not like Minor Threat like tight, which is all that's the thing about those Minor Threat records, is you can tell they have played all of these songs 1 billion times, because they are all recorded live, and they are just like Swiss watch tight.
Yeah.
Everything is incredibly tight by the time they get to like Out of Step. And they can start doing stuff like, hey, we're kind of in different meters in the chorus with the vocals, and it's like on purpose and stuff.
Yeah.
So my just experience with hardcore is basically like Minor Threat, Dead Kennedys to the extent that they were ever all that hardcore, and then a bunch of things that are like hardcore kind of in spirit. That's not true. I like the first Bad Brains record. But by the time we get Tough Guy Beat Down, by the time we're adding shit in front of hardcore, I'm just all the way done. I'm just all the way out. And this is kind of the last. This is the last gasp of when you could just be a hardcore band. After this, you had to be something else. It kind of splinters. Even if you were just like a plain hardcore band, that meant you were kind of a throwback hardcore band, because you were you were sans all the, like, you weren't Krishna or Positive or Edge or Beat Down or Tough Guy or Boston or whatever the fuck. You're just a regular hardcore band. And they're like, oh, that's so quaint. That's adorable how you're just regular old hardcore.
Yeah, that is, you know, hardcore is a genre that I have gotten bits and pieces of around. I also, you mentioned Dead Kennedys. I love the Dead Kennedys. More Fugazi than Minor Threat, but I'm sure that I've heard and would enjoy it, you know, were I to spin it up again. But
I mean, if you got 15 minutes, go listen to Out of Step. That's that's how long they're right. Like, you can listen to their best work in literally 20 minutes. Like, I can listen to it on the way to work. I listen to the whole thing.
The thing that got me with these guys, you know, we were talking about how, you know, competent they are from a musicianship standpoint. Harley Flanagan was like, I don't know, 18 or 19 when they were recording this.
And he was the most
in 67.
He was the most tenured musician on this fucking record. He was in bands when he was like 11 or something.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I don't know how much you dug into kind of his whole deal, but I guess his mom was, you know, big in the New York art scene and in lots of Andy Warhol films. So he grew up like as a scene kid. So I, you know, it's not surprising that.
Yeah. I mean, when you hear someone is an 11-year-old that's already in punk bands, that's either like a real fun story or a really sad story. Cause it's like, and even when you're at the point like, well, his mom, and it's like, did she die or abandon him or something? Was she on heroin? It's like, oh no, she was friends with Andy Warhol. So she was definitely on heroin, but she had ready access. I don't know.
Yeah, not everybody.
I hope she's not still alive, so that's not libelous.
not everybody's Tommy Stinson. in fact, Tommy Stinson is probably the exception to the preteen bassist in a punk band. You know, having a successful you know, healthy career.
Oh no! I just looked it up. Everyone is Tommy Stinson. Should we talk about the production overall?
Yes.
I am as surprised to hear these words coming out of my mouth as probably anybody. I like the snare sound. Like, the snare sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I think the whole record is competently, you know, produced. It's
weird. The production overall works, even though I don't think that if you soloed any of the instruments, you'd be like, well, that's a great guitar tone. The time they solo the bass, you're like, ugh. It sounds really bad. It's like got that punk thing where, like, how did you get? I'm Mr. Room Tone, but like,
yeah,
you, it feels like you only recorded the bass with an overhead mic, and that's not like usually what you do. It's famously the instrument that you sometimes just like don't record with a microphone at all, and it sounds pretty good.
Right. Don't even amp it. It's fine. Yeah.
But it all mashes together, and it all sounds pretty good. The levels are weird sometimes, but that's about it. Yeah.
It's a weird mix. Guitars are low. You know, there's a couple of shreddy solos in there, I think that's why the guitars
are low. I think you have those higher, and it gets a little scratchy. Yeah, there's about five guitar solos on this record, and that's five more than I was expecting. But it makes sense with the like kind of crossover. So one of the things about this kind of hardcore and why they're kind of the last like just regular old hardcore is you can hear on this, like Black Flag did this a little bit before them, but you can hear on this record they're starting to slow down and they're starting to, yes, to chug and chunk a little bit more. And so the solos in that context kind of make sense. But the mix is one of the most punk things about this. Like, this is a Metallica record. The guitars are not this quiet.
Absolutely, yeah. And the bass, it doesn't, you know, unshockingly, the ostensible kind of, you know, leader of the band, you know, is the bass player, and the bass is way up in the mix. I think you're onto something with that. About half the songs, you know, maybe three quarters of the songs on this record are under 2 minutes. And then there are, let's see, there are three or four that are more like, you know, less a hardcore song and more like a, you know, a rock song or, you
we're,
know,
we're my warring. The Black Flag record, where we're going to sludge it up and slow it down. Remember my heart.
Killer of my hands. The thing that I noticed, you know, on, and this was exclusive to We Gotta Know and Seekers of the Truth, it almost, you know, I almost started hearing kind of grunge elements or like, you know, like I could, when they slow it down and sludge it up, it gets grungy. And, you know,
you and me have both read about 600 versions of the same book, which is grunge was the expression of punk rock and metal, and Kurt loved metal and he loved punk rock and the Melvins and like. I mean, there's truth in that. When the punk guys who can't really play start trying to play metal, it sounds like grunge. That's what happens. And it's why the metal bands that are like, let's try out this punk rock, are pretty goddamn good. And the punk bands that are like, what if we were a metal band? Usually it's like,
fellas.
Yeah, it's like, hey, what if my twee indie rock band were a soul band? Like, well, that would go badly because you don't have a horn section.
Yeah.
And 60% of your band is named Eric.
Can I tell you, I had a genuine, legitimate laugh out loud moment the first time I was listening to this and Malfunction came on, and the I think the lyric is, I just can't get through to you. he puts so much English on.
Well, let's talk about the vocals, because when dude isn't careful, it's a little AC/DC. on Seekers of the Truth has that you know what I mean really, really gets just perilously close to AC/DC. The lyrics are mostly unintelligible, and that is for the best. Our rule, as always, is if you can't tell what they're singing, you do not want to know. the lyrics are, I'll say, never artful. They're often really dumb, but they're never artful. Like Fear, I'm just going to bring up Fear about every, my pace is about every 8 minutes at this point. Fear has like legitimately like clever is maybe a little strong, but turns of phrase that are very memorable, like New York's all right if you like saxophones.
Yes.
You're not getting that from Cro-Mags. They are
negative.
We have not talked about how much they lean into and live up to their name. Like, they are fucking meatheads, and they know that. And they call their band that. And they are just proudly like lifting weights and beating people up and talking about street justice. You can't have world peace. Street justice.
It doesn't exist.
They're just it's like any there's
don't this tread on me feature, you know, anytime I hear guys with shaved heads you know, rhythmically shouting don't tread on me, I'm kind of I don't know how I feel about
it. Yeah, we're in a what we call a post Charlottesville world, so when you start counting in German, I'm like I don't know, guys. So the singer was later into Krishna. So we now's our time to talk about the most fun offshoot of hardcore for my money. All the hardcore guys who got super duper into Hare Krishna and made a bunch of Krishna records. Like there's a Husker Du Krishna song. There's bands that are like entirely Krishna bands. There's bands that dress in the robes and stuff. There's bands like Cro-Mags where one guy is into Krishna and it's just like, it's like having a like, well, yeah, we got one straight edge guy, but we're not a straight edge band. Or like the thing from our youth that bands were super into, like, we're not a Christian band. We're a bunch of Christian guys trying to sell a bunch of records. So we're not saying we're a Christian band because we'd sell fewer records. No. We're betraying our faith for money. That's what we're doing. That was the most like, was the most evil shit when POD was like, we're just four Christians in a band. Oh, man. Sure you are, Sonny. We just love ping pong and boom and boom does kind of rip though. I feel like one of the drawbacks of hardcore is that you're always supposed to care who they are and what they're saying. You know, it would be so it would be very strange if Ian MacKay were like, it's just a bunch of words that sounded good together, right? Like whatever, I just sing it. But there are countless indie bands that are like, it doesn't mean anything. I just make words and they sound like the words sounded like how I wanted the notes to sound.
Yeah. It's more about the phonetics and the syllables and how they sound versus what they're saying, but can't really do that here.
Which as I've aged, I have gotten more and more kind of not quite Max Martin about it. Like I care what they're saying, but the artless I wanted to say this thing exactly and I wasn't thinking about like the rhythm of it or how many syllables there were is just my least favorite shit at this point. And that's what this is, but you can't tell that that's what he's doing most of the time because it's totally unintelligible, so it doesn't matter. But you can't get away with whatever, it's just a bunch of words that sounded good together. And so when the lyrics are just like bad, I'm being invited to have an opinion on the lyrics. It's hardcore. That's the deal. You're saying, hey, here's a bunch of hardcore lyrics with every hardcore release. And even if you're like, we're one of the silly kind of hardcore band, like, you know, we're the Dadaist hardcore band. That's still like they're not supposed to mean anything, so I'm paying attention to how it doesn't mean anything. You can't escape it. You are in hardcore. You can't not be, you can't not be made of matter. Like it just is what you're made of. You have to be.
the first thing, or the lyrical touchstone that I kept coming back to for what I could hear, and this was more on some of the slower ones, because those are the ones that you can hear the lyrics on. Other than I thought they were saying "seek justice," not "street justice," but.
I mean, the song's called
which might
justice.
Be even well, yeah.
That's a side effect of your YouTube listening.
Yeah, I know. But this reminded me more than anything else of Big Mountain Fudge Cake. Like, you know, I could see John Redcorn, you know, if he was not
the King
older.
Of the, stealth edition of our occasional segment, What King of the Hill Thing Are You Thinking About? I couldn't place that first. I was like, what the f-? And then you said John Redcorn. I was like, he's talking about King of the Hill Things.
Yeah. But just, you know, just kind of the complete, you know, there is no stylization or you know, everything is exactly what it is and exactly what they say it is in exactly the way that they say it. And sometimes it rhymes and sometimes it doesn't rhyme.
Never artful. Never.
Never artful, exactly.
There's
I think you hit it.
They're never going to do something where you're like, ooh, well.
Never, exactly, yeah.
And, like, this singer had the sad kind of little kid life. So
didn't look into him, but
yeah. So like, it's not bullshit when he's talking about like surviving on the streets and stuff,
right?
But it's also not, you know, I'll say that he's an effective vocalist overall, and I bet he got people hyped up, which is main job as a hardcore singer, especially in 1986. And can you take a punch? Was
right.
Like, that was a big thing with Henry Rollins being big, is people would just try to beat the bejesus out of him. So he started lifting a bunch of weights so people would stop trying to beat the fuck out of him. But that typically, and did in this case, has the opposite effect, where now like a bunch of the guys who wouldn't want to fight you before because it wasn't sporting, now they want to fight you, and they think
inducing the fight.
It's like the cops wearing a bunch of the cops having you know, army weapons. It's like,
right,
well, you're not doing what you think you're doing. It's called induced demand. So I think the album is kind of a big soup. So there's like the slower, sludgier stuff, and not sludgy, but the slower, like metalier, kind of riffier stuff. There's I would say the still fast, but not like, you know, blazingly 200 BPM fast. And then there's two or three that are like super fast. And those are where you see some of the like kind of limitations of the band, because the cardinal sin of like the super fast hardcore is when they start to almost get the beat upside down and the snare is hitting on the wrong beat sometimes.
Right. Like, yeah.
It's kind of in between. You can tell it's off. And that's super distracting. The other time you can hear him kind of bump up against it is like, you got to get off these toms, man. What are you doing on all these toms? You're in a hardcore punk band. You're
He's
playing
fan of the toms. Yeah. Like, and you know, clearly a very good drummer, and you know, is going to take the opportunity to, you know, to air it out a little bit.
But he's rushing these fills and taking some like noticeable shortcuts. I think it's on Hard Times where there's one, like he comes off a like fast like D beat into a fill, and he just like every time just drops the last snare hit, or it's like, what if I just like didn't have a four and just went to the Phil. It's like, well, that sure would be easier. I know that trick. What if I just didn't play part of the riff? What if I made it the hardest part?
And that's not to say that there aren't some fun. I think Show You No Mercy has a fun little dropped beat, and which is not exactly what you're talking about. That's an intentional.
I think in general, when he's just in the pocket and playing and not trying to be like blazing fast and not trying to do like Alex Van Halen fills.
Yeah.
I think when he's just in the pocket, he's an amazing punk rock drummer. And the record after this, I don't know if it's the same drummer, but the drumming got better on the record after this. It's much more metal. It's much more metal.
Okay.
And it was pretty goddamn good. I started listening to it a little bit just to see kind of where they went and kind of got into it. So there's kind of the general kind of shapes of songs. There's the metal, the punk rock, and the super fast punk rock.
Yeah.
That said, the quality is pretty consistently like a B plus or A minus.
Setting aside, you know, the meathead factor, I was pretty impressed.
It's pretty good for a debut record. I mean, you can tell it's a, like, we've been kicking around these songs for half a decade kind of debut record. But it's consistently quite good. Honestly, the only part of the record where I was like, Jesus Christ, come on, guys, is about the 300th time they go, malfunction! That song, you really do start to feel the length. I don't think you really do on anything else, though. I could have done with a 2-minute malfunction. And then I think the record is very, very good. The meathead factor is what would keep it from being a like go-to record for me.
Right.
It's not a whole package kind of record, but it's, you know, I think the analog I can't believe we haven't talked about yet is the thing we've done that's closest to this is Hatebreed.
I was just about to say I would sooner go back to this than I would go back to Hatebreed.
Heavens to Betsy, would I go back to this before Hatebreed? There has not been a single second where I was like, I gotta go back to that Hatebreed record. I will for sure go back to some of the high points of this record, and one of them is World Peace, which I think is
it's a real
black eye for me and for the show and for you. But World Peace, the song about like these hippies think there's gonna be world peace, like that's the song, but it's a lot of fun.
Dumb and fun was my note for World Peace, and that's one where he's doing less kind of, you know, like shout singing, you know, he's singing more and not veering into AC/DC. It's kind of, you know, there's a little bit of certainly not artistry, but you know, maybe a little there's something there. He's, you know, something to hold your ear and to latch on to, which I did not find anywhere on the Hatebreed record.
We talked about at the time that it was just an undifferentiated sludge with nothing to recommend any part of it. This, I will say, this doesn't have a lot of like memorable riffs, and that's what keeps it from being better than like a B plus to me. If this had some riffs where you're like, oh god damn, but they kind of don't. They're effective in spite of not really being riffy. Again, it's a like whole pat. More than the sum of its parts kind of record,
for sure.
But I mean, there are memorable parts and the guitar plays a role in that, but it's not like when I think of memorable, like the best Metallica riffs. In my brain, it's like just a guitar playing. It's not like a, wow, the whole package and the like, oh, this, the visual aspect had a lot to do with it too. Like, no, I'm just thinking of that David Bowie little ripoff riff on Master of Puppets and how much it slaps. And that's all I'm thinking
yes.
about.
Yes.
Well, I'll have to pipe that in. I wouldn't say that I nailed that. So we both liked World Peace. How did you feel about Seekers of the Truth?
That was where I had my note, both about Big Mountain Fudge Cake and Alice in Chains. I think it's at its silliest, but I kind of like it.
I really liked it.
It's kind of a weird kind of proto grunge.
I had already tuned out all the vocal, like I had written off the lyrics by this point. So the fact that it's very John Redcorn didn't actually bother me, because it's like, yeah, he's seeking the truth. Like, I don't know. The last song he was talking about fucking getting street justice. So, like, I don't know. He's chanting in German. I don't know if, like, him, like, wow, these lyrics are a little on the nose. He's just seeking the truth. Like, that's not at the top of my list of concerns when it comes to the lyrics. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, I Seekers of the Truth was one of my favorites. I think I gravitated more to the mid-tempo than, and maybe it's just that there were fewer of those, because like towards the end of the record, you know, there's five or six of the blast beat kind of songs all kind of in a row, and a lot of them are all in E and doing not identical riffs, but like kind of variations on a theme. It's like, oh, we're gonna play E and we're gonna play, you know, a flatted sixth and you know, all of the kind of metal, you know, chord outlines that make, you know, that are associated with music that makes you make the devil horns, you know, all the weird minors and things like that. And there's a lot of them. And I think that the slower songs kind of stuck with me more, because there's a little bit more room to breathe. There's different parts. They've got, you know, bridges and choruses and such. Which is not to say that the other ones aren't bad, but it's harder for me to kind of latch on to one of those other than World Peace, which whips.
Any other highlights or lowlights to go over?
I don't think so. I'm glad to hear that you have gotten into the second record, and that it's in, you know, that there's some interesting things there. Like, I've said I was surprised by this record. I wouldn't say that it's like, you know, I'm not a ride or die for the Cro-Mags now. And you know, it's kind of more of an artifact or a, you know, kind of an example of, you know, like this was and could have only been made in, you know, 1986 in New York. But I think it's good. I'm glad to have, you know, it was fun, which I think is, you know, kind of the most important thing. I didn't not have fun listening to this record. So I, you know, faint praise perhaps, but
didn't not have fun. Rave critics. Yeah, I thought overall I liked it. I would say almost exactly as much as I thought I would, which is that I thought I would like it, and then I did like it. It had both fewer peaks and fewer valleys than I was expecting, but my aggregate enjoyment throughout was at about the mean of what I expected. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a very even record. I can both see why it like caught on and this is a band that played for another 35 years, but I also understand why, you know, I got several Misfits songs stuck in my head as I was listening to this. And it's
that's
kind
a good
of,
analog.
It's kind of the opposite though in terms of like cultural footprint. Like shockingly large.
Yeah.
But like I think they get listened to about as much as the Cro-Mags. It's mostly the sticker and the mother. people just love Glenn Danzig. Like he's a it's Glenn Danzig stayed a relevant weirdo for a very long time.
Yes.
Cro-Mags
nobody's
new footprint, and I get it because there's no, you know, Fear. Footprints all maybe not footprint, but they have like they have several songs that like in the punk community are considered like classics or like standards, right Cro-Mags don't have that. There's not a Cro-Mags song where you're like, you haven't heard World Peace by Cro-Mags? It's about how the hippies thought there would be world peace and wrong.
Bunch of idiots.
Matt, are you ready to find out whether you're hardcore enough?
I'm certainly ready to find out. I've got a pretty good idea of what the answer is going to be, but I guess hardcore enough for what is the question, but
we may not find out the answer to that question, but we'll we'll waste time. And we'll be like, I would say, around 7 minutes closer to our deaths, and that'll be a relief. Are you hardcore enough? Question one: what's the last time you did some form of violent dancing at a show, be it moshing or something else? A. Never have, never will. B. More than a decade ago. C. Within the last decade. D. Within the last year.
More than a decade ago.
B. Okay.
B. For sure.
Okay. I should have let you break in and say what you were trying to say, which is it's B, because the options aren't. it's not going to be a different one. Okay. Most of the rest of them, like, you may want to pick one of the later things. So I'm going to keep not letting you interrupt me. Cause also,
all right,
you know, get your own fucking game show. What is a reasonable response when a band is offered a spot in a car commercial? A, take the money, blame your bandmates. B, mean email. C, middle finger. D, stabbing. Your band has been offered one of your songs is going to be in a car commercial.
Take the money, blame your bandmates, mean email, stabbing, and what was C?
Middle finger. I just needed a fourth thing.
I suppose probably mean email. I don't know. I feel like that there are songs.
I had already bolded it. I knew you were going to go with mean email. Sorry. There are bands who what?
Oh, well, just, you know, there's bands who are made for car commercials and I'm trying to envision what type of automobile is suited to a Cro-Mag song.
It's a subway car. Okay. All right. Your local VFW hall show just got shut down by the cops.
Mm.
Do you A, head home, B, hang in the parking lot and see what happens, C, help move equipment to the next venue, or D, fight cops?
I like to hang in the parking lot, see what happens. You know, maybe they'll split.
Your invite to the after party for the hardcore guys is not looking good. Okay. A crew from Boston is going to be at the show tonight. What are you bringing? A, my water bottle, but that's because I take it everywhere. Brass knuckles. C, Bhagavad Gita. D, socks suck, go Yankees.
I hate the Yankees. I have owned multiple copies of the Bhagavad Gita, and I am famously not super hydrated. So we're gonna go with Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, and famously profligate with lending out your books. I think I have
also
like
true
six or seven of your books, and they're just, I gotta tell you, they're just mine now. You're not getting your Nietzsche book back.
It was a trade.
You're not getting your Nietzsche book back. You know, I can't get it. It is for a long time. I put it in a different section of the shelf because I was like, it's not really mine. I have now alphabetized it with my other books. It's now
excellent, just as mine. It should be.
Yeah. All right. You must live at one of the following punk houses.
You
can only choose based on the name. A, Vegan Commune. B, Crust Palace.
Oh my.
C, Pig Pit. D, Cum Rag Manor.
I think I gotta go with the Pig Pit. I think I would be annoyed by everyone else. Though I'm intrigued by the Crust Palace, I would want to tour them both.
I mean, I can give you some, factoids about them. So the Pig Pit, there is no lease. There is also no electricity. the rats outnumber the people by some margin, but the police have only been there twice in the last month. Two times. That's not that many times.
Yeah,
it's a punk house. Crust Palace, had you chosen it, you'll be one of seven residents. There are two bedrooms and one bathroom. More than one person will be living in the same closet as you. All right.
I think I chose wisely.
You're gonna have fun at the Pig Pit. Cum Rag Manor has a lot of problems. I like that you chose Pig Pit over the Vegan Commune. The Vegan Commune does feature mandatory house meetings.
Nobody's having fun at the Vegan Commune. Like, you know, respect to my vegan friends. You are correct. I'm not disputing the validity of your argument. You are correct. I just sometimes find you personally annoying, and you know that's my failing.
All right, a touring band needs a place to crash. Do you pretend you did not hear the request? B, that was A. B, suggest an affordable motel. C, offer to help them ask around. D, start clearing out the living room.
Clear out the living room. I think I only did it the once, but we played with a band from St. Louis, and they stayed with me in my apartment, and it was when I still had the fish tank that dear departed friend of the show left, and I had gone to bed, and I think Josh was still out there hanging out with them, and overheard one of them say it's bubbling like a cauldron. So yeah, come on down, fellas. I'll clear your spot.
Yeah, I would absolutely pretend I didn't hear the request. All right, and last question. A 17-year-old Ian MacKay has just written some song lyrics. Do you A, pretend you didn't hear the lyrics? B, listen politely, nodding along? C, recognize that he may be onto something? D, make them the basis of your entire identity on this earth?
He might be onto something there.
Okay. All right, let me tally it up. Let me send it to the supercomputer. You got a lot more punk rock as we went there. You're like a 60% hardcore guy.
Okay. That's respectable.
All right. Do you want, I found a quiz. Do you want to find out how straight edge you are?
Okay.
All right.
This should be interesting.
Do you drink? The options are regularly or in moderation.
In moderation.
It's a lion ass. That's the doctor answer. That's the don't ask me no more questions about my drinking answer.
I really don't drink.
Don't defend yourself, you lush. Do you do illegal drugs? Yes.
Well, they're not illegal anymore.
Oh, well, I think in spirit they're asking if you do. For the purpose of straight edge, they are still illegal in the straight edge lifestyle.
Yes. Yes. If we're talking about straight edge legality, then yes.
Okay. Do you eat food products that have come from an animal? Animal is capitalized for some reason in this quiz.
Yes.
Animal also spelled with a Y.
Yeah, I had some delicious chicken vindaloo leftovers for dinner.
That is exciting. Do you enjoy hardcore punk music?
Yeah, yes. I'd say so.
So choose from the following options. Yes, I love it, or it's good from time to time.
Yes, I love it. I appreciate the enthusiasm.
What does the symbol SXE mean to you? Choose from the following options. A, it means straight edge. I feel like a lot of people are going to get it because they're on a straight edge quiz. Right? B, I'm not sure, but I am interested. I didn't make up this quiz. This is a quiz I just found on the Google internet.
B is, I'm not sure, but I'm interested?
Yeah.
At this grouping of letters?
C, it's actually spelled sex. Or D, no. What does the symbol SXE mean to you? D, no.
I think I gotta go with D.
D, no. The non sequitur answer that it, okay.
Depending on how it was stylized, if I encountered the letters SXE just, you know, in my day-to-day life, I don't know that I would necessarily make the make the straight edge connection.
Oh my god, there's fucking 5-4 questions. We gotta stop explaining shit about our answers. You picked the non sequitur one. I broke down in tears laughing about the fact that one of the options doesn't make any sense. And we've got 5 more goddamn questions. Okay. Do you attend hardcore punk gigs if they are available? The answer is yes. Yes, I try to go to as many as I can. B, sometimes. Or C, no.
No.
Okay, we got another fucking softball. The X on people's wrists at shows represents A, that they are straight edge. B, I am not sure. C, that they are not straight edge.
I do remember the X's on the wrists and that was a straight edge thing.
That they are straight
that
edge?
That they are that straight edge, yes.
Not that they're not.
That they are straight edge.
So
X,
it's not,
X for straight
so you're
edge.
Not saying that they're not, that means that they're not.
So I am not saying that they are not straight edge.
Okay, I understand now. Who wrote the song Straight Edge that started the subgenre? Let me go through the options. A, Minor Threat. B, Anti-Flag. I had an Anti-Flag hoodie in high school, and I wore
yeah, you did.
It shortly after 9/11, and it was not popular. It was Southwest Missouri, by the way. I'm gonna cut this so I can tell you the fucking GPS coordinates where it was. Metallica, Bad Religion, Throwdown, and then something called X Shelter X. I don't know what that is.
I think that I remember that Minor Threat wrote
that is correct.
Straight Edge.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not any of the others. I mean, the only plausible one is Bad Religion.
That was gonna maybe my other guess, yeah. But
next question. Straight Edge is about a clean mind, individuality, and nonviolent freedom of thought. B, going against conformism through action. C, refraining from sex and vegan. That's how it's worded. And D, not sure.
Oh, it was see here I was thinking it was going to be D, all of the above. I don't know, A, I guess.
For the record, a clean mind, individuality, and nonviolent freedom of thought. Yeah, we're the people who all wear hockey jerseys and draw X's on our hands and all worship a song from 40 fucking years ago. On account of we're individuals. Okay, and final question.
Okay.
If you are straight edge, will you be straight edge past the legal age to drink? The answers are yes. So that means you will be straight edge. That means you will still not drink. No. That means you are not edge. Just spoiler alert. And C, I am not straight edge.
I am not straight edge. I hate to spoil
one
the results
options,
of the quiz, but
one of the options for one of the questions on the how straight edge are you quiz is I am not straight edge. Your quiz is broken. And it's the last thing you can click. You have to scroll through the whole thing. The first question should be, are you straight edge? And it should be, I'm not sure, and no, I'm not. And if you click no, I'm not, it takes you straight to, nope, you're not.
The best minds at BuzzFeed were not called in for
we're nowhere close to BuzzFeed. We are on gotoquiz.com. We would kill for the editing staff of BuzzFeed, which is a currently a GPT prompt. So your quiz results. You are, you ready? 78% straight edge. You could be straight edge.
Ask reminder, your doctor if straight edge is right for you.
As a reminder, the most recent answer you gave to the quiz was, I am not straight edge.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. You follow basic morals, but still don't follow the rules of straight edge. No worries, though. Just look after yourself and remember, everything in balance.
That seems antithetical to that's
and can I I'm gonna show Matt, even though we don't have a visual component. So I can't make heads or tails of this second graph it's three bar graphs. Uh-huh. And it says one line is you are straight edge. This next line is you are hardcore straight edge, exclamation point. And the last one is you are not straight edge. So that's a weird order. You should put them in ascending or descending order, not a random order. But all the more confounding thing is they're all at 36 or 37%. So you are 37% straight edge, 37% hardcore straight edge, and 36% not straight edge. All of there's a binary mixed in to this, like
master
categorization. This is why there's an option in like a categorization system that's like none of these, and we just don't show that one. Like some people just pick like, well, I don't fucking watch The Big Bang Theory. It's like, cool. We don't have any more questions of The Big Bang Theory. Have a good day.
then you will have no context for whether or not you're a Sheldon. Can we direct you to, can we redirect you to this quiz about the OC?
What garbage do you like to put in your eyeballs? We're gonna quiz you about it. What kind of trash do you like? Do you like the Harry Potter trash? Because we've got so much quizzes about Harry Potter trash. Okay, so we found out that Matt is more straight edge than he is hardcore, but we also found out
pretty shocking
that some of the measurement tools we've got for your straight edgeness are a little rudimentary.
Yeah, they got some methodological problems there.
This is a dark day for us and for science and for straight edge. And as I remind you, I think on every episode of Tune Change, if you're not edge now, you never were.
I had not thought about that whole phenomenon in a long time. Are the kids still doing that? I mean, I guess they're still publishing quizzes, but
we're gonna find out.
I do know that there's a pretty big like house show hardcore scene still here. I am
dope.
Entirely too old to be involved in that.
They're not gone.
But I'm glad that it exists, and I hope that it continues to. Do we want to talk about who we're going to cover next time?
No, first I want to talk about this thread on r/straightedge. Is straight edge still relevant among younger people? The top response is, if you're hanging out with DIY and hardcore and punk people, they'll know what it is. If you're outside of those subcultures, they won't, which is by far the most reasonable response.
Yeah, okay.
And we've got the like 20 times meaner version of that response, which is the second most popular. It's not popular. It was never popular. It's a subculture within a subculture. At most, it attained some notoriety for a brief time decades ago, but it was never about popularity. It's about personal pride. It's a commitment you make to yourself.
Oh.
Number four response, just to get that taste out of our mouth. Straight edge 23-year-old here. I've only met one straight edge person in real life, and now we're married. Aw. That's fantastic.
That's lovely. Aww,
good for y'all. Okay. But that takes
Wait, way to go, kids.
Takes a lot of the sting off of deleted's comment. It's about personal pride. It's about commitment you make to yourself.
Ugh.
we'll do some REM thing or a totally different thing, and we'll cut all of this. This couldn't have been fun to listen to.
We're making the sausage. But until then, you know, dear listener.
Sorry, I left you completely hanging.
it's good. But until then, dear listener, you know, whether we're doing Go or Up or whatever REM record we choose or something else entirely, we do thank you for listening to this. Check out the Cro-Mags. We both had fun, which I think is fairly high praise for this kind of a record.
Yeah, and you're gonna, as with all 80s hardcore guys, you're gonna want to go ahead and not check out their politics. You are gonna want to not know anything about them. Just be like, wow, rock and roll, man, and move on. Bounce against each other. Be thankful you don't have to live with any of these people. Matt is gonna live at Cumrag Mansion or whatever.
Is the pig pen.
One he chose? Oh, right, the pig palace.
No, it's the crust palace and the pig pen. I think was the
it was the pig pit.
Okay. There we go. So join us next time, live from the pig pit. For Up or Go or whatever we end up doing. Until then, for Brett, I am Matt. Don't forget to listen to music.
And what was the thing that I said I always said earlier? If you're not now, you never were. Right at the tip of my tongue. Perfect. I'll edit out that silence. It'll be ideal.
Oh, it's you come into this world with nothing except yourself, and you leave the world with nothing except yourself. You know, they were really getting at the big questions here on the Age of Quarrel. Have we mentioned the name of the record? The name of the record is The Age of Quarrel.
Well, it's too fucking embarrassing. I'm not gonna leave it in now. We're 40 minutes in.